Our Heavenly Father, we thank you, Lord, this morning. We give you the praise. And we give you the glory, Lord, that is due unto your name. Hallelujah. To God be the glory this morning. For great things he has done. Oh Lord, to you be the praise and glory. Thine, O Lord, is the kingdom. Thine is the power and the glory, the majesty and the wisdom. The blessing belong unto thee, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Oh Lord, that my words this morning. Hallelujah. May glorify you, Lord, this morning. Oh, that my speech this morning may drop as a rain and bring glory to your name. And that my tongue, oh Lord, may be as a pen of a ready writer, giving praise to the Almighty this morning. Hallelujah. Blessed be thy name, O Lord. As always, the entrance of your word gives light. Let that light shine even as we enter your word this morning. We give you all the praise and all the glory. And everybody says,
yes.
Praise ye the name of the Lord.
Hallelujah.
Come on, give the Lord a praise and put your hands together and give the Lord a hand clap this morning that he deserves. Hallelujah. Amen. Now, a couple of weeks ago or so, we started a series, God's Eternal Purpose. And I told you that after the town hall meeting, we're going to continue that series and so forth. So this morning, part of that series continues. And we will be talking on the subject of treasure in earthen vessels. That's what we're talking about this morning. Treasure in earthen vessels. And we're going to start here at 2 Corinthians chapter 4. And I will start at verse 6. Now that's the book of 2 Corinthians chapter 4 and verse 6. For God, who commanded the light to shine out of darkness, has shined in our hearts. Has God shined in your hearts this morning? Do you have the light, or are you still walking in darkness? By the end of this message, you know, perhaps the mercy of the Lord will bring that light to shine in your hearts even more perfectly, in Jesus' name. God has commanded the light to shine out of darkness. He has shined in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. Now that is so deep. We can take 3 weeks to preach just on that one verse. The glory of God. Oh my. The light of his knowledge in the face of Jesus Christ. But we have this precious light. We have this glory. We have this revelation of the knowledge of the glory of God that is in Jesus Christ. We have this treasure in earthen vessels, that the excellency of the power may be of God and not of us. And can somebody say amen to that?
Yeah.
What is the treasure that is in earthen vessels? Now, the treasure that we are talking about is divine. But the vessels themselves are made of clay. The Bible says he is the potter and we are the clay. And he took of the earth. See, that's a great paradox for the things of God. See, that's how God worked from the beginning. See, when he wanted to bring his glory, as we talked about in when we started the series on God's eternal purpose. When he wanted to bring his glory, and when he wanted to reproduce himself in man, or when he wanted to establish his glory, you know, and he made this man, he went to the earth, and he picked the dust. See, that's the paradox about God. How great he is! The greatness, the heavens of heavens cannot contain him.
Hallelujah.
See? But when he wanted to shed this glory, and he wanted to share it, he went to the earth. You know, he could have used well, precious things he could have used. I don't know, whatever he could have used. But he took the duster. Oh, hallelujah. Because he has something that he wants me to bring out this morning. Can you say praise the Lord?
Praise the Lord.
The glory of God, the treasure that we have. This treasure in earthen vessels. Well, this message, even though that's the title, is going to talk more about the building of God. See, the church of God. That's what really this message is going to be all about. Brief this morning, not too long. Let's go to Deuteronomy chapter 12. We're going to lay a foundation and see what God begins to give a type of in the Old Testament. How he begins to give a figure of things to come. And in Deuteronomy chapter 12, verse 5, he talks about the place that the Lord your God has chosen to put his name there. There is a place that he has chosen to put his name into. See, he began to talk about, he said, but unto the place which the Lord your God shall choose out of all your tribes to put his name there. See, even unto that place which shall be called his habitation. Oh, hallelujah. Oh, yes. He said, that shall ye seek unto. See, and thither shall thou come. And he began to give a type of things. You see, so when he began to speak about that, he also gave them instructions to build this place and build certain places and so forth. And the whole time, the people lost sight of the paradox. See, they thought it was the building, finally. You know, so they, you know, because, you know, he put it that way and so on. So they started to look to the building. You know, and they would say, Lord, you know, when we go into this place, when we come into this place, let your glory descend and so forth. And God, he honored it, you know, and so forth, you know. And they thought that it was the house that was made with a brick and the walls and the mortar. They thought that that was what he was talking about as his habitation. Somebody stay with me in the house. Also in Deuteronomy chapter 26 and verse 2. He talks about the same thing. The place where the Lord has chosen to put his name there. That's where he's going to meet with you. And he began to give a type to them in the Old Testament. In fact, he went beyond that. He told Moses, see that thou make everything after the same pattern that I showed you in the mount. And he took him in Exodus chapter 25. He began to describe to him the things that he wanted him to do. And he got to this one place when he was talking about the mercy seat, the ark, the living testimony, and the cherubims. Oh, and every time I get to that place, you know, I get the goosebumps. Hallelujah.
Yeah.
Because he said in Exodus 25, verses 21 to 22, you know, the mercy seat. Put it above the ark. Because that's the place where I will meet with you. And I've often said, Lord, I thank you because you chose the mercy seat and not the judgment seat. Amen. Praise the name of the Lord. He chose the mercy seat even above the ark of the testimony. That's how great his mercy is. He said, put the mercy seat above the ark. Oh, hallelujah. Is somebody with me this morning?
Hallelujah.
The ark of a living testimony that contained the word of God. But it was a sharp two-edged sword for them in those days because when they didn't listen, it brought them judgment. See, the word, you know, if you go against that word, you know, it'll kill you. See? But if you love that word, it'll give you eternal life. Hallelujah. Praise God. You know, the Bible says the gospel that we preach to them that perish, you know, in one way is a savor of death. But to all that is a savor of life, to those that receive it. Praise ye the name of the Lord.
Hallelujah.
That's right. You know, but he chose the seat of mercy, the place to meet you. And he began to tell them, you know, make sure you do everything after the pattern that I showed you in the mount. He told him that in Exodus chapter 25, he told it to him, let's read Exodus 25, And I'm going to read verse 42. Exodus 25. And let me just read verse 22. He told us the same thing in Hebrews chapter 8 and verse 5. But let me read this account here in Exodus 25. Exodus 25, if I can find my place here, you know, verse 40. And look that thou make them after their pattern, which was showed thee in the mount. Exodus 25 and 40. He told us the same thing in Hebrews chapter 8 verse 5, that he told Moses, he said, make sure you do everything after the pattern that was showed you in the mount. So God was doing these things for a reason. He was doing these things for a pattern. A pattern and a figure of things to come later on. So he began to tell them, you know, build a house, do these kind of things, and so forth. And then the people thought, you know, that he was talking about a physical building. All the time. See? They thought that's what he was talking about. Well, turn with me to Hebrews chapter 8. And let me read verses 1 and 2. In Hebrews chapter 8, verses 1 and 2. Now, of the things which we have spoken to you, this is the summary. We have such an high priest who is set on the right hand, you know, of the throne of the majesty in the heavens. That high priest is a minister of the sanctuary and of the true tabernacle. Now, I'm talking about that true tabernacle this morning, which the Lord himself pitched, and not by man. You see, man build these kind of things and so forth, but the Most High does not dwell in buildings that are made with hands. How many of you know that's true? Oh, I'm going to read that scripture to you in a minute. He doesn't dwell in buildings that are made with hands. Turn with me to the book of Acts chapter 7. When Stephen, when he was giving, you know, his testimony before the people, just before they stoned him, the Holy Spirit took from the scriptures. He began to bring this story that I condensed for you this morning. He brought it all the way from the beginning and brought it all down to Christ. You know, and he showed, you know, how David wanted to build a house for God and so forth like that and all these things. And finally, he said in Acts chapter 7, verses 48 through 50, let's read what he said. Acts 7, 48 through 50. Acts chapter 7 and verse 48. He said here, how be it, the Most High dwelleth not in temples made with hands. Even as saith the prophet, heaven is my throne, and the earth is my footstool. What house, therefore, will you build for me? You know, and what is the place of my rest? Hath not my hand made all these things, and so forth? You know, because, you know, every time, you know, they would look to the, you know, and Solomon, he built that place, boy, you know. And there was nothing like it. Even the queen of, Sheba, you know, queen of Sheba and so forth, she came all the way, you know, from the south and so forth to see. And he said, wow, I've never seen anything like this, you know. And there was the glory, there was the renown of the place, you know. And even the Lord, he honored it. He came down when there was, when the praise was setting just right. He came down with the glory and so forth like that, you know. You know, and everybody looked to that temple. They looked to that temple. So finally, when Jesus came upon the scene, now this Jesus is called, you know, the firstborn, the real blueprint of the true tabernacle. Amen. So when he came upon the scene, so his disciples, they take him to the temple and they showed him how beautiful it is. They said, Lord, look at this beautiful temple that, you know, we've had, you know, our fathers built and we've worshipped in this place. And Jesus said, that temple, you know, he said, I tell you what, destroy this temple, and in 3 days, I will raise it up again. But he said, concerning that temple, there shall not one stone be remaining on it that shall not be brought down. You think that's the temple? Oh no, that temple is going to come down. And of course, you know, history bears record of it. You know, it came crashing down in AD 70 and so forth, you know. The forces, they came in there, they tore that place down. But that's not my subject today. But my subject is, let's look to the true tabernacle. Now, when God said, you know, he doesn't dwell in buildings, he doesn't dwell in these things. Now, How many of you know that the church is a building? Oh yeah, it's a building. The church is a building. And I'm going to prove it to you this morning. But not this kind of building. Praise the Lord. It is a building because Jesus said, I will build my church. So that makes it a building. Anybody still with me this morning? That's right. But not this kind of building that you're thinking. Oh, it's not made of brick. Oh, it's not made of mortar. It's not made of wood or carpentry of man's hands. Oh, yeah. But did you ever realize, did you notice that Jesus was born into the house and the family of a carpenter? Oh, yeah. You know, I don't have time to go into all of the connections this morning because I want this message to be brief. But here's what I want to tell you. That the house and the church of God is indeed a building. Because Jesus said, I will build my church. But the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. But it's not this kind of building. So let me show you the scriptures that tell us what kind of building it is. The first thing I want you to know in 1 Corinthians chapter 3 and verse 9, he tells us, he said, ye are God's building. Ye are his husbandry, and you are God's building. So that's the first thing he tells you. He said, we are God's building, absolutely. And we are going to, that's what we want to talk about here in the next few minutes. God's building. What kind of building is God interested in? You know, what is the kind of building that he's interested in? Wherein he said, ye are God's building. Jesus himself said, I will build my church. Yes. You know, so he knows how to build some things. In fact, he grew up in the house of a carpenter to continue the paradox. So that people will continue to think that he's going to build something with wood and with this kind of thing and so forth. You know, but that's not what he's talking about at all. Praise the name of the Lord. You know, everything about him is, you know, shrouded in that paradox. The King of Kings was born in a manger. See, there was even no room for him in the inn, even though he made the universe. See, that's how he walks. See, because, you know, he hides these things from the wise and the prudent. See, hallelujah. So that he can reveal to the real elect of God what his plans are and what the Lord is interested in. And I want to tell you today, ladies and gentlemen, and men and brethren, that God is interested in a building. But that's a building that he himself is building. Praise the name of the Lord. In the book of Ephesians, if you want to turn with me to chapter 2, I'm going to read verses 19 through 22 and tell you what kind of building this is and what is the process of how he is building it. Ephesians chapter 2, starting at verse 19. And he said, now therefore ye are no more strangers and foreigners, but fellow citizens with the saints and of the household of God. Every time you hear house, it brings a connotation of a building. Is that correct? Yes. So a household of God. But let's see what it is. Now this kind of building, they are built, you know, this house that we're talking about, his body really, the church, is built upon the foundation of the apostles and the prophets. But Jesus Christ himself is the chief cornerstone. Amen. Hallelujah. Amen. The chief cornerstone is the piece, the anchor that holds everything together. And we're going to find out exactly what it is here in a minute this morning. And that is it, in whom, that's Jesus Christ, the chief cornerstone, in whom all the building, see, fitly framed together, groweth unto an holy temple in the Lord. In whom ye also are builded. Now we're talking about a spiritual building here. In whom also ye are builded together for an habitation of God through the Spirit. So this building that Jesus said, I am building my church. It's not a building, no matter how pretty, no matter how beautiful the physical building, it's not that. Amen? See? And it's even beyond just the people. You know, it is the treasure that is in the earthen vessels. It is the presence of God. It is the Spirit of God. The emphasis here is not on the building. Even when you are talking of even a spiritual building, the emphasis is still not on the spiritual building. The emphasis is on what is inside the building. Can somebody say amen? The treasure that is inside the earthen vessels. And he chose the earth so that the excellency and the power and the glory may be of him. You know, so that we cannot boast of anything because he put it in dust. He chose to put his glory in something made from dust. Can you say praise the name of the Lord? Hallelujah. But you say, he chose to do that? Why? Absolutely. But what is the anchor? Where does it all begin? Because he said, I'm going to build my church. See, the gates of hell will not prevail against it. One time, Jesus, he decided to take a census, an opinion poll. In the book of Matthew chapter 16, he took an opinion poll of his disciples. You know, he said, well, who do men say that I, the Son of Man, am? And one said after this sort, and another said after that sort. And they said, well, some say you are Elias, the prophet, or this, or that, or whatever. And he said, well, that's all right. You know, so that's what they say. But who do you say that I am? Now, I'm going to ask you the same question this morning. See, what are people saying about Jesus? Who do people think that Jesus is? See, people who have never seen Jesus, who do they really think that he is? Those of you that claim to be the sons of God and children of God, maybe all they see is you. See. So what kind of a picture are you painting before people? Amen. That's right. See, because, you know, Paul himself said, be ye followers of me, he said. Even as I follow Christ. See? So, you know, I want to be able to say, you know, to people, just like Jesus said. He said, if you have seen me, you have seen the Father. I want to be able to say to people, if you have seen me, you have seen Jesus. Can you say amen? You see, because we are the epistles that are to be read of all men. See, we are the image of Jesus Christ. See, so if people want to see Jesus, they ought to be looking for you. Praise the name of the Lord Jesus. They ought to be in your office, in your school. When somebody needs Jesus, they ought to come and look for you. Praise the name of the Lord. Let's say, I need Jesus today. Some people came and said, today we would see Jesus. We would see Jesus. You know, and then, so in your school, if they say, I want to see Jesus, they ought to go look for you. Hallelujah. Because you are the Jesus to this generation. As my Father has sent me, even so send I you. As he is, so are we in this world. There is no other Jesus that the world will know. It is you that will be the Jesus. Hallelujah! So who do men say that Jesus is on account of the kind of life that you are living? Can they tell the difference between you and the unbeliever? If they brought you an indictment that you are a believer in Jesus Christ, will there be enough evidence to convict you? Ladies and gentlemen, are you still with me this morning?
Yes.
If there is an indictment against you for being a believer, for being a Jesus person, for being an image of, you know, Jesus, will there be, will the evidence show that you are guilty as charged? Hallelujah. Praise God. Think about that for a minute. But Jesus, he asked his disciples, who do men say that I am? And one said after this sort, and another said after this sort. Now listen to what Jesus said. So finally he said to them, but who do you say that I, the Son of Man, am? You know, that's from verse 13 of Matthew 16. He began to ask them. You know, and they said, you know, John the Baptist, whatever, and so forth. So he told, and finally asked them, what about you? What do you think? You know, and Simon Peter, in Matthew 16 and 16, answered and said, thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. Oh my, he put it right out there. You know, and Jesus said, wow. Blessed art thou, Simon Bar-Jonah, for flesh and blood, you cannot learn this in a seminary. Amen? Oh yeah, you know. Flesh and blood cannot reveal this to you. Flesh and blood has not revealed this to you, but my Father which is in heaven. Oh yeah, and he turned around and said, well, and I say unto you, Peter, oh yeah, you know, he changed his name right there. See? I change, you know, I say unto you, thou art Peter. You know, call him a stone. You know. And he said, upon this rock. And you know, the Roman Catholic Church, they jumped up and they say, yeah, Peter is that rock. Well, they could never be further from the truth. Well, yeah. Upon this revelation of who I, the Son of Man, am. Upon that revelation, I will build my church. And the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. Can somebody say hallelujah? The anchor that holds the church in place is the revelation of who Jesus Christ is. When you throw that out, you might as well forget about the church. Praise ye the name of the Lord. And the devil, he has crafted many schemes over the years to get rid of that revelation of who Jesus Christ is, so that he can weaken and disable the church. The gates of hell, they have a scheme, see, to discredit the revelation of Jesus Christ. They have a scheme to weaken that foundation. But if you want to really, you know, get the job done, you weaken that foundation. Amen. And once you can get rid of that real foundation, which is Jesus Christ, he said he's a cornerstone. Okay, the apostles and the prophets, yeah, they laid a good foundation, but that Jesus Christ himself, he's the chief cornerstone. He's the anchor. The revelation of who he is the anchor that holds everything in place. Can you say praise the name of God? And you say, you know, and Jesus said, wow, listen to what he said after that. Okay, and he said, and upon this rock, I will build my church. We're talking about the building that Jesus himself is crafting. I will build my church. He doesn't need any help. Amen. Amen. Can somebody say amen to that?
Yes.
He doesn't need any help building that church. So he will build that church. Oh yeah. And when he's done doing it, he will present it to himself. The Bible said that he might present it to himself. Nobody else is going to present the church. He will present the church to himself.
Amen.
A glorious church. Having no spot on wrinkle. Because he's going to get the job done. Hallelujah. You know, and for knowing the revelation of who Jesus is, here's the powerhouse that is packed behind that revelation. The powerhouse revelation of who Jesus is. Here's what he gives you. And I will give unto you the keys of the kingdom of heaven. It comes with the revelation of who Jesus Christ is. How many of you can say amen?
Amen?
Oh yeah. And whatsoever, that whatsoever, amen? Whatsoever thou shalt bind on the earth, because you have known the revelation of who I am, it shall be bound in heaven.
Yes.
The holy waters and the alatas, they will be at attention and they will carry out your word, because you have known my name. How many of you can say praise the Lord?
Yes.
Oh, God doesn't have to lift a finger. He's got armies in heaven. He's got the decrees of the holy watchers. He's got his patrollers and his alatas. He's got the strong angels that excel, you know, and so forth, that are hearkening to the voice of God's command through you. You know, he's got all of that. You know, And he said, whatsoever you shall lose on earth shall also be loosed in heaven. That's how power-packed that revelation of who Jesus Christ is. And as part of this series, before we finish, hallelujah, we will reveal by the grace of God. Oh yes. But let me tell you, you know, that the message, and don't miss when we preach it, because you don't want to miss it. Knowledge or revelation. When we preach that, you don't want to miss it. You know, and it will be coming in part of this series. But here's how Jesus would just finish that off. In the book of Luke chapter 10, he sent out his disciples and he gave them power over unclean spirits. You know, he just, well, you guys go out and do some things. You know, and so they came back. See, he said, behold, I give you power over all the power of the enemy. If you know his name, if you don't have anything else, you got power over the devil. Can you say amen? So finally they came back. They said, Lord, my goodness, the devils were subject to us. I mean, they were screaming, they were running. Everywhere we went, they were jumping out. We were casting them out, boy, they told the Lord. The Lord said, well, that's good. He said, praise God. He said, before you did that, I already saw Satan fall as lightning. Praise God. Amen. You know, he said he fell as lightning. Do you know how lightning travels? It moves at the speed of light. That's 186,000 miles per second. That's how fast the devil gets away from the power of God. And from the elect that has the true power in the name of Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. If you've got that real power, you zoom in on that power, boy, you can put that devil out 186,000 miles per second. He'll be moving fast from you, as fast as lightning. Praise God. Oh yes, that's how fast he got away from there. You know, and Jesus said, let's read what he said as we close this message this morning. Luke chapter 10. And here is where we are going to finish this out this morning. Luke chapter 10. He said, well, it's a good thing that the devils and serpents and scorpions and all these things are, you know, bowing down to you and so forth. And he said, look, nothing is going to hurt you by any means, because I give you power over all of them. He said, but notwithstanding, verse 20, in this rejoice not, that the spirits are subject unto you and so forth like that. But this is how you should and why you should rejoice. Because your names, hallelujah. Somebody say my name. Your names are written in heaven. Somebody say my name is written in heaven. Oh, and then in verse 21, this is where I'm going with this message. In that hour, the Bible says Jesus rejoiced in the spirit. Oh, he said, Lord. Oh, I thank you, Father. Because you have hidden these things from wise and the prudent and scholars and the educated. Hallelujah. Now, don't miss the message. Knowledge or revelation. When it comes, maybe we'll preach it next week. Don't miss that. You have hidden these things from the wise and the prudent. Hallelujah. And you have revealed them unto babes. For even so, Father, it seemeth good in thy sight. Oh, yes. You say, you know, you cannot by, you say, can't I by understanding find him out? You know. And he said in verse 22, all things are delivered unto me of my Father. Now notice this. And no man knoweth who the Son is. See, the revelation of the glory of God, the light of the knowledge, see, of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. That's the treasure that is in earthen vessels. And he's putting that pressure, he's putting that treasure in the church that he himself is crafting. And he said,
You know, no man knows who the Son is but the Father. See? And no man knows who the Father is but the Son, and he to whom he will reveal it. Oh yes. And God has hidden these things all throughout the ages. He said, blessed are your eyes that see the things which are now being revealed. Because many kings and prophets and righteous men desired, and even angels, desired to look into these things. If you are here in part one of the series, Eternal Purpose of God, we talked about that. The angels desire to look into this, but to them it is not given. But praise God for his mercy. Amen. Unto which of his angels said he at any time, thou art my son. See, he never said to any of the angels, thou art my son. This day have I begotten thee. The angels, they can't make claim to that. Amen. Can you say amen?
Amen?
The angels are but servants. That's all they are. We are the ones that have the treasure. Hallelujah. We have the treasure. But he has put it in earthen vessels. So that we may humble ourselves. And so that he may have the preeminence in everything. Can you say praise the Lord?
Praise God.
This church that he is building, the building of God, we will continue about this in the remaining part of the series. Praise God.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
But we want you to know one thing today, that the building of God, of whom the Bible says ye are that building, it's not made with brick. It's not made with mortar. It's not made of wood. Oh yes. Hallelujah. It is the souls of men. The souls, the spirits of those who have been redeemed. Hallelujah. He said, we have gathered unto Mount Zion. You see, unto an innumerable company of angels. But unto the spirits of men that have been justified by the blood of Jesus. Those that have been removed from darkness are not only translated into the glorious kingdom of our Lord Jesus Christ, but have been changed into light. Hallelujah. Praise God. I am the light of this world, he said. Did he not also say that ye are the light of this world? And in this series, we will talk about the elect being changed into the light. Hallelujah.
Amen.
So that you may lighten the corner where you are. Amen. Jesus said, I am the light that lightens every man that comes into this world. And so must you be.
Hallelujah.
This little light of mine, I'm going to let the light shine.
Yes.
Nobody ever lighted a candle and put it under the table. Hallelujah.
Amen.
For those of you who want to be closet Christians, shout the glory on Sunday. Jump up and down the church. Give the praise to the King. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Then go out from Monday to Saturday and live like the devil. Or live like the world. Nobody can tell the difference. Will there be enough evidence to convict you that you are a child of God if they brought such an indictment against you? Will you prepare for God and habitation in your life? This temple, Jesus said, destroy this temple. He was talking about his body. You know, they actually crucified him for that. They said, this temple that we have had for thousands of years, this man said he's going to break it down. This is, you know, insurrection. This is treason. Jesus just, you know, God, he loved to say things like that. You know, because he said, I will speak to them in parables.
Yes.
So that they will not understand anything.
Hallelujah.
So that their hearts will be darkened. Not that they may not be saved. But to the elect.
Yes.
He will call them to the side. And he will say, unto you it is given to know the secret of the kingdom of God. Hallelujah!
Hallelujah!
Oh, he doesn't speak anything to the elect in parables. Oh, yeah. He'll make it plain. Make the vision plain. See, that he may run that readeth it. He'll make it plain. Praise ye the name of the Lord. And throughout this series, by the grace of God, we are going to make plain the eternal purpose of God. This portion of the series is dealing with that part of his purpose that had to do with the building that he is making. And ye are that building. Don't look to the walls when you come here on Sunday. Don't look to the temple that is made with brick. Hallelujah. He said, he that destroys the temple of God, him shall God destroy. He said, ye are the temple of the Holy Ghost. He wants to live in you through the Spirit of God. And he is going to bring the fullness of that revelation of Christ into every one of the real children of God. Hallelujah. And then that glory will be revealed. Let's stand to our feet this morning. Hallelujah. He said the glory, the knowledge of the Lord is going to cover the earth as the waters cover the sea. Well, how do you think he's going to do that? It will be through the elect of God. Hallelujah. Through the elect of God and through his glory that is going to come into your life. And how is he doing it? Every day you prepare him a habitation in your heart. Praise the name of the Lord. Hallelujah. Don't just shout the victory on Sunday and then live like the rest of the world the rest of the week. Oh no. That doesn't do anybody any good. You know. But on Monday and the rest of the week when you are in your schools and at your jobs, you want to be the light. And when they are looking for Jesus, they want to look for you. That ought to be your goal. Lift up your hands and pray this morning. Praise the name of the Lord Jesus. I want you to say, Lord, I want you to help me. Let me be an effective witness. The Bible says in a great house, there are many vessels. Some I want to honor and some I want to dishonor. Which one will you be? If you have this hope of receiving into your life the fullness of this treasure that we are talking about. He said, he that had this hope purified himself. You need to consecrate yourself daily and purify yourself. See, so that you might be fit for the master's use. So that he might pick you and make you the place that he has chosen to put his name there. Hallelujah. Now, if you want prayer this morning, I want you to step forward. I'm going to pray for you. That the Lord will give you a breakthrough in your life if there's something that's holding you back from allowing your life and your entire being to be an habitation of God through the Spirit. Hallelujah. I'm not talking about coming to church. Hardly. But I'm talking about your entire life being the very place that God has chosen to put his name there. He's building a church. He's building a people this morning. I want you to take a step of faith if you want to be a part of that he's building. Praise God. If you want to say, Lord, I want the fullness of that revelation in my life. I want the fullness of that glory in that earthen vessel. And I will continue this, a vital part of this message will continue next week by the grace of God. So you don't want to miss it. We wanted to keep today's meeting very short. So I want those of you who are here in front, come close and we're going to pray and believe the Lord together. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. The Bible says unto the gathering of the people shall be unto the Lord. But not unto us. Not unto us, Lord. But unto you be the glory. These people, Lord, your people have come unto you this morning. Not unto me. Hallelujah. No man can come unto the Father. No man can even come unto me, Jesus said, except the Father draws him. God has drawn those of you who came out here this morning. If this is your first time, and you say, I want to be a part of what God is doing. This is the time like never before. Lift up your hand this morning and begin to pray. And if you have given your life to Christ before, But you are allowing the cares of your life and so forth to get you away from the presence of God and the purpose of God, the eternal purpose of God. Today is a chance for you to get in. Lord, move upon the people that are here in the name of Jesus. Losing, oh God, every grip that Satan and the effect of this world, the cares of this life and so forth like that, the world, losing it from them in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. I bring the glory, the revelation of who the Lord is, the fullness of his power in the kingdom of God. Bring it into their hearts, Lord, in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. I am building my church. Will you be a part of it? Will your life, your very essence, will that be the place that God has chosen to put his name there? Hallelujah. Praise God. Let me pray with you this morning. What would you like the Lord to do for you, sir?
I want the Lord to give me prosperity and love and give me peace of mind.
Hallelujah. Let's pray together. Lord Jesus, oh Lord, bless him this morning. I'm feeling with the request that he has asked for, Lord, in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. 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 The Lord brought you here for a reason this morning. Enjoy his presence. Praise God. Hallelujah. What would you like the Lord to do for you?
I want to experience the Lord.
Oh, yes. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Move for her, Lord. You heard her request, Lord. Move for her, Lord. She wants to experience you afresh in her life. Move, Lord, in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Bring a restoration, Lord. Hallelujah. Give the Lord the praise this morning. Hallelujah. Amen. Jesus. The Bible says, my house shall be the house of prayer. I want to invite those of you who are here in front. You know, you can worship here on these mats. Lay down here and so forth like that. Give this woman here covering. Hallelujah. Praise God. Thank you, Jesus. 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 Father, Lord, we pray for everyone that is here standing today, Lord. Lord, let your glory be revealed in their lives, Lord. And take away, Lord, the stony hearts. And bring a heart of flesh. Hallelujah. And let us be instruments in your hands, Lord. Vessels of honor. In the Master's house. In Jesus' mighty name we have prayed. Everybody say amen this morning.
Amen.